Every day as I prepare to do this radio program, I have to sort through a whole lot of news and information and publications. And some of the stories I see, hey, truth can be stranger than fiction. You can't make this stuff up.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've been looking at some news stories this week, and I have to scratch my head. I read these stories, I look at them, I try to make heads or tails out of it, and I'm just amazed. I stand amazed that some of these stories out there, you just can't make this stuff up. They're weird beyond weird beyond weird. And yet, this is the truth. Some of the stories I read today, if you had said these stories would really be out there 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, I would have told you you're crazy. For example, and we're going to get into, by the way, some weird stuff about this Routh guy, you know, Ryan Wesley Routh, the alleged attempted assassin from this past weekend. There's some stuff in that that's coming out now that literally will make your head explode. I mean, it's stranger than, you can't make this stuff up. If you were, how do I put this politely? If you were sitting around with a bunch of guys drinking and taking some, let's say, hallucinogenic drugs to write a storyline, they couldn't come up with anything weirder than this. And this is the true stuff. And so I'll get to him in just a minute. But there are a couple of other stories that I want to quickly share. Middle of this past week, there was a bill that was passed by the House of Representatives. And this bill was called the Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act. All right, let me say that again. The Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act. Now, it did pass by a margin of 266 to 158. And seven congressmen were not there. They didn't vote. They didn't show up for work or something. Who knows? Thankfully, and of course they better have, 215 Republicans voted for it, which is everyone that was there, and nobody was against it. And five Republicans didn't show up. I guess it wasn't important to them. Democrats, well, 51 Democrats voted for this bill, which is, you know, kind of surprising. But then again, you start looking at the Democrats that voted for it, and they are in some pretty tight races, in some pretty, you know, purple areas, not thoroughly blue, not quite red. And this is the kind of a bill, especially for Republicans, if they were to even consider voting against it, and for those Democrats in purple districts, if they voted against it, their political careers would come to a crashing end. And all my hopes go up in a puff of smoke. Going up. That's right. Any Republican or Democrat in a really tight race in a purplish district, yeah, their entire political careers would go up, up, up in a puff of smoke. That song just came to mind as I was thinking about the political careers of some of those Democrats in close races. They want to hold on to power. And even though their party is against this bill, in other words, this is what is disturbing, and I want you to stop for just a moment with me. How could anybody vote against a bill that states, if an illegal immigrant, somebody that is not supposed to be in the United States, who came here illegally, broke the law, should not be here to begin with, should already have been deported for breaking the law coming here, and this bill just says if they are convicted of a sex crime against another individual, we deport them. And you had 158 Democrats voted against it. Now, some of these people are just low-life sickos like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Clyburn of South Carolina comes to mind. North Carolina, you got several there. Around the Charlotte and Greensboro area, yeah, they voted against it. You had a few congressmen in North Carolina. And then you go to states like where you'd expect it, like New York. You have a number of them. And of course, the regular ones you'd expect. Every Jeffries is one. Ocasio-Cortez, she's another one. And you can just go down the entire list of just the Nadler, of course, you know, good old Nadler. These people are, I'm sorry, but they're slime buckets. If they think that we should not deport somebody that raped a woman who shouldn't even be here legally, we should let him stay. Maybe we should even drop the charges as far. What is wrong with these people? You can't make this stuff up. How could anybody vote against this bill unless you are a perverted individual yourself? A demonically possessed individual would think it's okay to let somebody that raped somebody, sexually assaulted somebody, remain in the country even though they're here illegally. These people are dangerous. And which brings to mind something else that needs to be discussed. Like I say, I'm going to get to this story about Ryan Wesley Routh in a little bit. When you hear this, some of the stuff that's come out, your head's going to explode. But I want you to stick with me for a minute here. If you listened to yesterday's program, and I still stand by what I said, we are on the potential of a nightmare scenario that could actually occur here in the United States, where you could, and I really believe this, the numbers are there. When you think about how many Democrats didn't think twice about 158 of them, and just, you know, 50 some odd in close districts, if they could have gotten away with it, I think all of the Democrats would have been in lockstep to kill this bill, because they want the laws broken. They want chaos in this country. They want disruption. But this was one they had to, a few of them had to say, nah, I can't do it because it would kill my career. And so they made a pragmatic decision. I think a bad one. I think that every Democrat that voted against this bill is unworthy of serving in the United States Congress. We call these people the honorable, you know, Nadler or whatever. These are dishonorable people. Anyone that voted for this, from here on, when you write them a letter, dear dishonorable Jerry Nadler, dear dishonorable Wasserman Schultz, whatever, don't give them any credit for being honorable, because they are dishonorable reprobates that have no concern about you. And all their phony baloney about protecting women, yeah, they're the same ones that vote to let men compete in women's sports. These people are mentally ill. They're delusional, and they think it's okay. It's okay. Hey, so the guy came over from wherever. Doesn't matter if it's the Middle East, South America, Haiti. It doesn't matter. Hey, they commit a rape. No problem. We don't deport them. They assault a woman, who cares? A child doesn't make any difference. We're not going to deport them. What's wrong with these people? And we wonder why our nation, I think, is literally at a crossroad. And the hand of God's protection is gone. And the price we're going to pay is going to be massive. Our biggest problem right now, how do I put this? It's not who ends up being the president of the United States. It really, really doesn't. We have a problem with our system. We've allowed to be corrupted immensely. There's no discussion of the most real important issues that face all Americans. Do we continue the political and economic system which we've been born and raised? And I'm not saying the one that the founding fathers gave us or the ones of 100 years ago. I'm saying the one that came into being after the Second World War, amplified by Lyndon Johnson in 1965, the national security state, the regulated managed economy, the welfare state, the dependent state. Or do we go back? Do we replace our system with what we had that was based on the principles of economic liberty, voluntary charity, and a limited government republic? See, the founding fathers, and even in the states, they never envisioned these massive governments with massive programs, massive payrolls, and massive taxes. They best left most of that local. But no, we've gone to this globalistic idea that was fermenting beginning around the latter part of the 19th century and started to take roots in the early 20th century. We had World War I and World War II. And all this military-industrial complex. You know, it's funny. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I was thinking the other night on a slightly unrelated topic. When I started in radio back in early 1970s, radio was not even 50 years old. 50 years before I sat before a microphone, there were no radios in anybody's home because there were no radio stations, not yet. They came into being starting in 1922. And it took a while before radio stations began to get built and people began to get radio sets well into the 1930s and 40s. And then I come along 50 years later. And if you go back to, let's say, 1920, what was the state of our technology? Well, we had the automobile, the internal combustion engine. We had electric lights and telephones and telegraph. We certainly didn't have any computers. We certainly didn't have some of the sophisticated things that we have today in science. The technology, start with the electric light bulb, to the vacuum tube, to the transistor, to the integrated circuit, to the tiny chips and the microchips. This has all happened in a period of a little over 100 years. And the most major advances occurring in the last, there was a big jump with the transistor in the 1950s and into the 1960s. And I can remember getting a copy of Popular Electronics on the cover. It said, coming soon, the IC, the integrated circuit that can replace, five or six transistors or 10 transistors in no time in a tiny package. Now it replaces hundreds of thousands of transistors in that tiny package, literally. That's all happened in about 50 years. I say all that is we have all this technology, all this ability, and we have too much stupidity, too much evil, too much corruption in our governments. And the United States is no exception. If anything, we're about one of the worst. I've got a story on that I want to share in a few minutes. But understand, we have allowed our government systematically by erosion to take away and strip away your freedoms, your liberty, your birthright. And they hold you and your income and your home hostage to taxes. And you must be obedient and you must obey. The problem is too many people assume that our current way of life is permanent and we're just stuck. We're going to have to live with it forever. There's no way to get out of it. And even in the last 25 years or 30 years of presidential elections, and nobody talks about how do we get back to the nation we once were in terms of our freedom and our liberty. We were not perfect. I know that. Don't even go there with me. But I think overall we were a better people 50, 60, 70 years ago than we are today, in spite of it all. In spite of all the technology and all that we've been given. Here in the United States, a federal debt, $35 trillion and growing another trillion about every 96 days or something along that line. This debt is owned by American taxpayers. And every year we add $2 trillion in additional debt on top of the interest and everything else. And, you know, we can never pay this back. Why do you think some people can't wait to have World War III? Kind of, you know, wipes out everything. It's kind of like going bankrupt. It just wipes everything off the table. We start fresh. I really believe, in spite of the numbers on the stock market, you know, I was thinking about something 50 years ago, maybe a little more than that. Let's say 54 years ago, I can remember watching the television when I was in high school, I was high school senior, and I was watching, I'd watch the news, you know, on WROC TV, Channel 8 out of Rochester, New York. And besides the weather forecast, they would have this thing about the stock market. And everybody was wondering, when will the stock market, when will the Dow Jones Industrial Average reach 1,000? Because the number was nowhere near that. I mean, that was like, you know, someday it may get all the way up to 1,000. Now it's like 40,000. It shows, let me tell you what this really means. It shows you how little your money is actually worth. That's how much it has been devalued since we went off the gold standard and we live off the good faith and credit and debt of the United States government. Thank you, Federal Reserve. What a bunch of treasonous traitors and filth that has wrecked our economy, wrecked our globe, wrecked our world, wrecked our peace, wrecked our freedoms, wrecked our ability to communicate, has restricted free speech. And right now, the FBI, following Biden's orders, as somebody pointed out to me the other day, that's all they do, following Biden's orders. They chase down little old ladies that are protesting at abortion clinics and want to put them in jail for 10 years. They want to visit anybody that speaks out or speaks truth. They want you silenced. Now, let me get to that story that I mentioned at the beginning. I went a little long here. Talking about Ryan Wesley Routh, that rhymes with South Mouth Routh. This story gets more weird and more convoluted and more insane every minute. It was what? This past Wednesday. There was a hearing. And Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, who I know the mainstream media despises, tried to destroy with phony allegations. And he, I can remember when he appeared on television warning people about the attempts on him. And it turned out he was right. And people were out to destroy him. To give you an idea, he was interviewing Security Investigations Chief Katrina W. Berger. This is the Homeland Security Department and Investigations. And some information about this character kind of fell out of her mouth. And I don't know if she really meant to tell us all the truth or not. In this hearing, and I know that ABC, NBC, and CBS avoided a lot of this stuff because it looks bad. It really does for the deep state, the establishment state, the Democrat Party in general, and all the security apparatus being thoroughly embarrassed. But here's what, you know, they kind of hope that nobody really watches this stuff on C-SPAN, I guess. She confirmed that Customs and Border, the Customs and Border Patrol had found Routh very suspicious when he re-entered the United States and referred Routh's file to the Department of Homeland Security, you know, Mayorkas's department.
The border is secure.
You know, that clown, that liar, that traitor. And then, as always in this Department of Homeland Insecurity, the trail goes cold and somebody just slips the file somewhere so never to be bothered by it again. And I'm going to explain why this is getting more and more suspicious. Follow me here. According to the Customs and Border Patrol, they said they suspect the suspect is a U.S. citizen who traveled to Kiev. I know they want you to call it Kyiv, Ukraine, but it was called Kiev for ages. For 3 months to help recruit soldiers from Afghanistan, Moldova, and Taiwan to fight in the Ukrainian war against Russia. The subject stated he does not get paid for his recruiting efforts, and all of his work for the Ukrainian government is strictly volunteer. And the subject stated that he obtains money from his wife. Now, wait just a cotton-picking minute. When did this guy get a wife? We knew he had a failed marriage, and he has a very estranged relationship with his son. That much has been out for a while. But he obtains money from his wife to help fund his trips to Ukraine. Where did this wife come from? We've never heard about this person before, but somehow it just kind of slipped out. I wonder if they really meant for it to slip out. And why is it that the corporate media at ABC, NBC, and CBS that like to fact check everybody that's a conservative, they don't want to fact check any of this stuff. They don't want to look into it because it's going to make the deep state look bad, and the deep state are their masses. They got to do whatever they're told to do or they don't get their nice big paychecks. They'll be out there working at the drive-through window at Hardee's or Bojangles Chicken or something. They're not going to have real jobs. Actually, working at Bojangles is a real job compared to some of the trash these people put out as phony newscasters. Why is it that no one's ever tried to find her, mention her, interview her? So you start piecing the stuff that's kind of out there. If you dig deep enough, and some people have done a good job of doing some serious digging about this so-called spouse, wife, the spouse of Routh and his big mouth, and on it goes. If you paste it together, it appears that he recently had remarried to a woman by the name of Kathleen Schaefer. Kathleen Schaefer. Now, in addition to the, you know, Customs and Border Patrol report, her name pops up in a few key places. She evidently helped him edit, Ryan Routh's book. And she ran a small GoFundMe for his Ukrainian adventures. And social media citizens, people have connected her. And this, once again, when I tell you that truth can be stranger than fiction and fairy tales and everything else, this is one of them. Listen to me carefully. And the more I read this, the more believable it is, because the crazier it sounds. And in 2024, crazy is normally true. So here we go. Hold on to your radio or whatever your device you're listening on. Make sure you don't drop it. If you're enjoying the cocktail hour, be sure you put your glass down. I don't want it breaking. If you're drinking a cup of coffee, stop sipping. I don't want it blowing out of your nose. So here we go. Social media citizen journalists, who do a pretty good job at times, digging in before things get scrubbed, connected this individual by the name of Kathleen Schaefer, the so-called spouse wife of Ralph, and she works and lives and she lives in Hawaii, by the way, too. So that kind of helps. So we have a LinkedIn profile to this individual with the same name who lives in Hawaii, but it's her work, what she has down for her job, that is the most weird. See, this Kathleen Schaefer works for a giant international publicly traded company you probably never even heard of. Well, some of you might have, but it's called Maximus. The company is called Maximus. It's headquartered in McLean, Virginia, just 6 miles to the northwest of the Maximus headquarters, this international company that employs tens of thousands of people. This company you never heard of that employs all these people is just a couple of minutes drive away from the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. Oh, now Bob, it's just another coincidence, Bob. Okay. Maximus's sparse profile on LinkedIn. Once again, it claims it employs like 10,000 plus people. And their website, which I'm bringing up on in a thing right now in front of me, it says, and I'm looking at this, you know, wonderful diversity, equity, and inclusion cover story here, moving people, technology, and government forward. It says, I'm looking at their homepage right now. We provide transformative technology services, digitally enabled customer experiences. And ready for this? It's about to get real crazy. And clinical or medical services that can change lives. Now, based upon what I just shared, what in the world does this company do besides spend a lot of taxpayer money on a bunch of weird stuff? And is there any connection to the deep state? Any connection to intelligence apparatus like the CIA and the, following Biden orders FBI? And if you, there is a YouTube video right on the homepage, and I'll give you a quick guess at what it might be. In this little short video on the homepage of Maximus Corporation or Corporate, it promotes what a great job they did with
COVID-19.
And yes, they were deeply involved with the COVID vaccines. I told you, truth can be stranger than far-fetched fiction. And in this case, it truly is. There's no doubt in my mind. This is some of the weirdest stuff I've been reading in a long time. And guess what else they like doing? Once again, this is a company that the supposed wife of the attempted assassin of last weekend, the so-called wife or new wife, who raised money for her husband to go jaunt off to Ukraine and Afghanistan and everywhere else to try to fight the war against Russia. Guess what else that they're deeply involved with and spending money on? Taxpayer money, I'm sure. To relocate, to help relocate desperate asylum seekers into the United States. I kid you not. Performing at the speed of government need is what they promote. They brag about training 20,000. Listen to the number here. They brag about training 20,000 CDC workers, training them all about the COVID shots in the first 60 days. So it was the COVID shot deal right out of the gate, up to its corporate neck with these people at Maximus. that trained the CDC. The CDC, you know, the so-called medical experts, had to be trained by this company just down the street from the CIA. Now, what, help me here if you can. What in the world does an unemployed, failed roofer, ex-contractor building tiny homes in Hawaii, who claims to make less than $36,000 a year, what was he doing in Ukraine? And if this is the correct Ms. Schaefer, and I'm look, as weird as 2024's bingo card has been, this is probably very, very true. This individual working for such a multinational corporation, living in Hawaii, the same name as this person is supposedly married to, lives in Hawaii, funds Ryan Routh's Ukrainian adventures and travels and trips. And it just seems rather weird to anybody looking at this that, you know, this is kind of a murky security state-connected multinational corporation. Just happens to go inside, just down the street from the CIA. It takes longer for most people to drop their kids off at school than it does to drive from Maximus, their headquarters, to the CIA headquarters. Just so you know, you'd be there in minutes. Probably catch a bus if you're caring about, you know, global warming. You can get on your electric bus and run on over. But it's all, you know, it has to be a coincidence. It can't be real. In the interview, Matt Gaetz asked Director Berger a question. Why, like the FBI before it, did Homeland Security also decline to follow up with investigating this guy, Ryan Routh, with all the red flags and all the alarm bells going off? And this silly woman, this diversity, equity, inclusive, higher political job, goes, I don't know, but I'll find out. Yep, right. It will be buried. ABC News, CBS News, CNN, they're gonna look the other way. We don't want to talk about this. Because, see, they know something that Chuck Schumer once said when Donald Trump first came into office shortly after his inauguration. Chuck Schumer reminded the new president and everybody with these very poignant and chilling words.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
So as I said at the beginning of today's radio program, sometimes the truth can be far weirder, stranger, more convoluted, more unbelievable than a fairy tale. And we're seeing it play out right before our very eyes. How in the world did we get here? How did our nation become so corrupt? How did our nation become so compromised? And how can we deal with it going forward? How is it going to get fixed? Can it be fixed? I warned you yesterday, and I'll remind you again. There, if you don't really start paying attention at every level of government where you live, I cannot make this any plainer. I had somebody a couple of months ago wrote me an email saying, I've given up on voting. I'm just going to stay home. And I said, well, then stop listening to the program, stop complaining, and stop being a useless eater. I'm sick of people that think that I'm done. I give up. Let's have the rapture occur or something. I no. You're in this fight for a reason. There's a great hymn, fight the good fight with all your might. But no, Christians want to be armchair quarterbacks on everything and complain and moan and groan. And just say it's terrible.
What are we going to do? I don't even feel like going to church today. I get nothing out of it anymore.
Well, in some churches that have gone apostate, yeah, that's probably true. No, as I said before, you need to understand the politics where you live locally, and this includes your school board, your city councils, commission boards, whatever you call them in your state or locality. Whether it's a city or a township, doesn't matter, a parish, whatever you call it, a county, you need to know who your leaders are and what they really stand for. Ask questions. Do the research. You know, I spend an hour or two before I fill out what I'm going to do for voting. I study every issue on the ballot. I just don't assume yay or nay. I want to know what it really means. I want to know every candidate for every office, every one of them. I want to know what they think about certain issues. And if they don't want to answer the question, they're not going to get my vote, because people that will not answer a question have something to hide. Listen, I'm running a little long here. When I get back, I've got a few more stories that are stranger. I mean, this proves once again that truth can sometimes outdo the most outlandish movie plot.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As I've been saying on this program all day, sometimes truth can be stranger than fiction or fairy tales or the most bizarre story ever told. know, it's kind of like, yeah, these, remember the crazy stories we used to tell as kids, you know, the dog ate my homework. Well, now it's the dog ate my homework and a Haitian refugee ate my dog or something like that. I mean, I know I'm it's not in good taste, but still, this is the bizarre world in which we're living today. And, you know, city manager of Springfield tries to pretend it's not happening. No, it's not happening here. Don't look at the man behind the curtain comes to my mind. Explain to me how 20,000 people that do not speak English, for the most part, speak Creole French, coming from a third world nation that practices a pagan religion called voodoo, many of them, end up in a small town in Ohio of 58,000 people, and how are they supposed to assimilate? And how is it that nobody bothered to report on this until recently? Once again, truth is stranger than fiction. And obviously there's going to be a culture clash, but the powers that be, including the rhino governor of the state, you know, DeWine, in Ohio, you know, he's going to know, you know, it's not happening here. Just people like him give conservatives a bad name. I'm sorry. The guy is unfit to serve if he cannot realize, recognize, and be honest about a problem. Unless he's afraid of the deep state coming after him. I mean, maybe that's all that's going on there. You know, he just wants to play ball. One of the things that deeply also concerns me today is I've noticed in my lifetime, and since World War II in particular, any weirdness that begins in Europe works its way from Europe into the United Kingdom, into Canada, and then it kind of drifts south into the United States. Everything regarding God is dead and living for yourself, all of these things seem to really explode for whatever reason after the Second World War, and I don't get it. Church attendance began to drop like a rock in the United Kingdom, and then Canada, and now the United States. And many churches in the United States, in this effort to stop the losses, you know, kind of changed what they were doing to, quote, get with the times, make people feel good about themselves. I guess the Holy Spirit and the way the church had been operating since Pentecost was not going to work in this modern age, so they thought. One of the other trends that is coming out of Europe, and it's working its way here at a lightning speed of light pace, the escalating crackdown on speech in formerly the free parts of Europe and increasingly in North America and even South America. Good example, in the United Kingdom, the government there has been imprisoning individuals for social media posts under the guise of curbing hate speech. There have been a number of incidents that have been reported, how the new Prime Minister of Britain has imprisoned citizens for saying quite innocuous things on the street, even on Facebook. And it's not just a few random people, it's a nationwide campaign. Right now, over 400 Brits have been imprisoned for trivial speech offenses. And right now, it's becoming a case of life imitating art. The disturbances in Britain are mostly about migrants, most of whom, if you have been following the news at all, are Muslim. Britain has a bigger problem than the United States because most of their immigrants are Mohammedans, and they come in large masses. You know, you may not know this. Church attendance in England is down to like just a few percent, and not a week goes by that one or two or three Methodist, Baptist, or Anglican churches close. And some of them are even the conservative Anglican churches. Not many, but a few. but particularly among the Methodist churches that end up closing, they get sold and they become a mosque. So as churches have been declining for like a half century or more, really 70 years, it's been going down the tubes in England. Of course, when the leader of your church is technically a reprobate king, I have an issue with that. I understand the theology quite well, but I do not look for a secular leader to be the leader of my church. Never have, never will. But getting back to my point about the speech issue, you've got a situation rapidly growing in the United Kingdom where an increasingly large swath of the population are Muslim and practicing their Muslim faith, which puts Sharia law above any law of the land. In Sharia, there's no such thing as free speech. And if you look at the Quran and parts of the Hadith, there's no question that as Great Britain rapidly approaches this critical mass of Muslim immigrants, they're going to be able to create law, change law, and put that entire nation under Sharia law. That's the goal. They're trying to do it in France. They're trying to do it everywhere they go. And now, if you say something bad about them, it can land you in jail. The country that gave us the Magna Carta, this is ridiculous. And these same Gestapo-type tactics have found their way into Justin Trudeau's Canada, the man-child. You go against him, you're going to hear about it. You might go to jail there, too, for legally protesting a right you have in Canada, but not under the dictator Justin. And as I've mentioned before, if Hillary Clinton and many others have their way, well, they'll put you in jail, too, for speaking out against the government. A First Amendment right, I might add. They would love to get rid of the Bill of Rights. This regime, this evil regime that occupies Washington, D.C. and many state capitals here in the United States, they hate the Bill of Rights. They want the ability of questioning you on anything, anytime, any place, for any reason. They want you to live in fear. You know, one of the things, and I'll talk about this next week, that I understand the need for law enforcement to have certain tools and abilities when dealing with, let's say, the illicit drug trade. But some of the laws, the way they are written right now, innocent people get caught up in these forfeiture and asset seizures. There was a story about a guy that had a large amount of cash. He was traveling to buy a vehicle, got stopped by the police in a small town. It took him forever to get his money back at great expense, and he's out the money. They should have, and they never filed any charges. They just kept the money. This happens too often, that we are losing our rights in a police state, and it's increasingly becoming a police surveillance state. And then people talk about a digital currency. That's the next thing. They can turn that money on and off because you will not have real money anymore. Look, the United States is broke. We're flat, busted, broke. Only thing that comes to mind is this crazy old song.
Yeah, my bills all do, and the baby needs shoes, but I'm busted. Cutting it down to a quarter a pound, but I'm busted right now. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. I kind of gonna hold my baby. Right now.
To be quite honest, the United States is broke financially, morally, and spiritually. We are living in a time where the majority of people here in the United States, they're not Christians anymore. I've said it several times, and I'll remind you again. As much as I hated to hear it with my own two ears, Barack Obama was correct. many, many years ago when he made the statement, America is no longer a Christian nation. He said that about 14 years ago, maybe even longer. And I think he was right. The statistics today prove it when you look at the number of people that even claim to be involved in any kind of organized religion. It doesn't matter what the religion is. It could be Islam. It could be Buddhism. It could be universalism. It doesn't matter. Only 47% of Americans even identify with any kind of religion. And many identify attending an apostate church religion now, one that has abandoned the faith once delivered. And I had a debate with somebody not long ago, and they're pointing out, well, how can this be? How can there be a great falling away? Well, the Bible says there's going to be one. And we're watching it before our own eyes. I've watched it for 25, 30 years now. And really, it's longer than that. You can go back to the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, even back to the late 1800s. These seeds of dissent and dissension were already sown. Critical theories in seminaries. You know, I want you to remember that here in the United States, some of the greatest universities founded, Princeton, Harvard, and Yale, now are liberal, or I should say leftist lunatic bins. But they were founded to be theological schools to train pastors and leaders and then lawyers and others in the professions. They were godly schools, but no longer. They have thrown God off campus. This is the world in which we have to live each and every day. And doing this radio program is not easy some days. I mean, I can spend hours sometimes just trying to record a few minutes because it can become so depressing. I have to walk away from the microphone. But I have hope in spite of it all. See, my hope is not in this world. My hope is not in a politician. It's not in any of that. Never has, never will be. Of course, I will vote. Don't get me wrong. I've had people make the claim, oh, you're saying not to vote. No, no, not at all. That is something we must do. And we must know the candidates in every race, not just the president, but your congressmen, senators, everything at your state level, your city or town or community or village, whatever it is, you need to know where they stand. And that includes school boards. And you must make a decision based on this criteria. Number one, we're not electing a head pastor of a church, so you can't use that standard. You don't use that standard when you're trying to find an auto mechanic or an electrician or when your plumbing doesn't work and you have leaks all over the house. You want someone that knows what they're doing. For me, my criteria is very simple. I vote for the person that poses the least threat to my faith, my family, my finances, my future, and my freedom. If they pose a threat, I can't vote for them. And right now, it's pretty obvious at the top of these tickets who poses a threat. Who wants to have disinformation boards? Who wants to decide that maybe the Bible is hate speech? That's already being done in Europe. It's going to happen in the UK and Canada. It's going to be here soon. It already is in some places here in the United States. Don't take it for granted. If you are a Christian, be thankful for one thing. God's work doesn't depend on your abilities, but it depends on your availability. One of my favorite hymns from my childhood that still resonates with me today. Built on the rock, the church doth stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land. You know, the church is under attack, but the faith once delivered to the saints is still alive and well. Sure, it's a smaller church. Sure, it's a remnant church. Sure, a lot of the people that once claimed to be Christians have fallen away. The Bible predicted it. So I'm going to ask you the question, where do you stand on these issues? Are you a part of the faith once delivered? Where are you going to be worshiping this Sunday? Will you find the time and go worship? You need to. Listen, if you believe in our mission and ministry, we need to hear from you to keep us on shortwave radio. You can go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money. By the way, we use Give, Send, Go. Give, Send, Go, a Christian online processing group. If you want to give online, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia is 24319. Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.